Going to this week look at Hezekiah, and if we get done, we'll look at Manasseh, but we have to get done with Hezekiah. Hezekiah is kind of an interesting story to read. We can't even read all of Hezekiah, but what do we learn from all this king stuff? I don't know, because these are some pretty rotten kings, but there's some pretty good kings in there. So what do we learn? Well, I guess we learn from a parental standpoint that we can have some good kids, bad kids, and not have a lot of input, I suppose. I don't know. We know that there's some horrible bad kings, like in this case, Ahaz, 2 Kings chapter 16, verse 2. It says here, 20 years old was Ahaz when he began to reign, and reigned 16 years in Jerusalem, and did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord his God, like David his father. But he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, yea, and made his son, to pass through the fire according to the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel. And he sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places and on the hills under every green tree. He's not a good guy. Look at 2 Kings chapter 18. And we look to Hezekiah, who is the son of Ahaz in verse 1. So he's the son. And yet we find out that Ahaz did very well, to the point where, verse 5, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. That's a pretty good guy. Okay, this is Hezekiah now. Right. So Hezekiah does a really good job, yet he had a real bad parent. So we see some real good guys, Hezekiah, who has a real bad son. So how does this all work out to be? Look at chapter 18, look at verse 3. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He's a good guy. Let's jump way over here to 2 Chronicles chapter 30 here. Now let's go to 29. I may not be seeing this correctly here, but I think I am. One of the interesting things about Hezekiah is he didn't do everything perfectly. 2 Chronicles 29. We're going to be going back and forth from 2 Chronicles 29:30 to 2 Kings 18:19-20. So you want to stick a pen or something? We'll go back and forth quite a bit. But we see here in 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 31. Then Hezekiah answered and said, Now ye have consecrated yourselves unto the Lord. Come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of the Lord. And the congregation brought in sacrifices and thank offerings, and as many as were of a free heart burnt offerings. And the number of the burnt offerings which the congregation brought was 70 bullocks and 100 rams and 200 lambs, unless I'm not to get in that box, LD, up here. All these were for a burnt offering to the Lord, and the consecrated things were 600 oxen and 3,000 sheep. But the priests were too few, so that they could not flay all the burnt offerings. Wherefore their brethren the Levites did help them till the work was ended, and until the other priests had sanctified themselves, for the Levites were more upright in heart to sanctify themselves than the priests. And also the burnt offerings were in abundance, with the fat of the peace offerings and the drink offerings for every burnt offering, so the service of the house of the Lord was set in order. And Hezekiah rejoiced in all the people that God had prepared the people, for the thing was done suddenly. So here's something that was done all of a sudden. It looked like it just wasn't quite ready for it. It didn't go all up to snuff here, but yet it still pleased the Lord. Look at chapter 30. Keep going here, verse 1. And Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah, and wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh, that they should come to the house of the Lord of Jerusalem, at Jerusalem, to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel. Okay? For the king had taken counsel, and his princes, and all the congregation in Jerusalem, to keep the Passover in the second month. Okay? For they could not keep it in at that time, because the priests had not sanctified themselves sufficiently. Oh. And neither had the people gathered themselves together in Jerusalem. and the thing pleased the king and all the congregation. So they established a decree to make proclamation throughout all Israel, from Beersheba even to Dan, that they should come to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel at Jerusalem. For they had not done it of a long time in much sort, as it was written. So it's not going per plan. You see what I'm saying? It's not. There's a couple of buts in there, and it didn't quite work right, that kind of a thing. Yet Hezekiah pleased the Lord, and God was pleased with these things, even though things weren't all going just perfecto. And we can learn from that. We can learn from that. That even in this day, when these things weren't all the way they needed to be, look at verse 16. There's some long suffering here, I guess. And they stood in their place after their manner, according to the law of Moses, the man of God. The priests sprinkled the blood which they received of the hand of the Levites. For there were many in the congregation that were not sanctified. Therefore the Levites had the charge of the killing of the Passovers for everyone that was not clean, to sanctify them unto the Lord. For a multitude of people, even many of Ephraim and Manasseh, Issachar and Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves. Yet they did eat the Passover, otherwise that it was written. But Hezekiah prayed for them, saying, the good Lord pardon everyone that prepareth his heart to seek God and the Lord God of his fathers, though he be not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. See, I mean, there's grace here, in a way. Call, you know, whatever you want to do with it here. Look at verse 26. Hezekiah, with all this stuff that was going on, and these things not quite going up to snuff, suppose he had a few staff meetings and said, how come this isn't going? How come you guys aren't ready? What's going on here? Says, look at verse 26. So there was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there was not the like in Jerusalem. They had joy like this for many years. If you go back and look at all the kings, you can sure sense that there was not a whole lot of joy there. But here's Hezekiah, who's trying to do everything he's considered the best before and coming, and yet everything didn't go quite right. Do you see that? That's all I want you to see there. And there's something to learn from that. Knowing his background from a horrible father who just was not for God at all, yet he became a good king. So, you know, it's still possible people can get a hold of God, no matter what their parents, good or bad. No matter how good the parents are, the kids can reject God. And just, you know, it's not always parental training. I know there's a lot of example and end sample and there's all sorts of things that we can do when the kids are young and all that stuff. But what they do when they get older, they still got a brain and they can reject God. They can compromise with God. They can do whatever. If you got a lousy parent, you can serve God beautifully. Get a hold of that Bible. That Bible will neutralize anything that's going on. You can do right. Or they can do wrong. They can reject it. They just can't. So if that's all we want to learn from this, which really is plenty, let's go back to 2 Kings 18 again. And let's look at some interesting little things that took place in Hezekiah's life. We're not going to do them all because we just don't have time, but there's a little series here that I think is very fascinating to read about. 2 Kings 18. That's why we say that the kids got to get a hold of the Bible, don't they? They don't need to get a hold of Baptist stuff, teaching stuff. They need to get a hold of what that Bible is, and they'll do something with it when they get to be old. And what it will be, I don't know. Maybe they'll reject it. Maybe they'll get so tired of it, they'll just reject the whole thing. That's why I think rightly dividing is so important. At least they're going to know what they're rejecting. And if they want to get a hold of it, throw everything out that you've been taught and start with this thing, which is what we've kind of done in the last 5, 6, 7 years. Not that it was all wrong, but we just pulled aside and said, let's look at this whole thing again. And look what it's done. Look what it's done. We've got more people mad at us now than we ever have. That's sad. But 18 verse 1. Here we go. Hezekiah. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. How old are you, Scott?
32.
Okay. I keep thinking in the 20s for some reason. Nice. You're holding it, April. His mother's name also was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places and brake the images and cut down the groves and brake in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. Remember that story? That became a worship item. For unto those days, see now, boys, we were talking about Noah's Ark the other day. Is that really Noah's Ark? Could we find Noah's Ark? Here's one of the reasons that we tend to think that we won't find Noah's Ark, because anytime anybody finds anything they think is from God, they worship that thing. They look at that thing and they worship that thing. So if they really could find Noah's Ark, they really have. You can bet that there's people in this world, Paul, that would worship it. They put a fence around it and it'd be holy. And it's just a bunch of rotten wood. That's what happened to Moses' serpent. They worshiped that thing. For unto those days, the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord. How do we cleave to the Lord? How do we get so close to the Lord? With our Bible. With our Bible. You get in that thing, that's just where you're at. But kept his commandments which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria, and served him not. So Syria is the bad guy here today. He smote the Philistines, even unto Gaza, and the borders thereof. You know, that little territory down there has never been happy. Just has never been happy, you know. And the borders thereof, from the tower of the watchman to the fenced city, there's that watch. Why would you name your magazine after the bad guys? But oh well. To the watchman tower there, to the fenced city. Now, let's read that again in a little bit better detail. Let's go to 2 Chronicles, chapter 29. Chronicles and Kings kind of parallel each other, but they kind of copy each other, but they have a few more details in different sections. 2 Chronicles 29, verse 1. Remember what we read about Hezekiah, 25 years old, and he got rid of things, and let's see how it says here in Chronicles. Chapter 29, verse 1. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name is Abijah. The other one said Abby, like her nickname, Abi or whatever. Here's her full name, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. We read that in Kings. He, in the first year of his reign, tells us exactly when, in the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together into the east street and said unto them, Hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers and carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. For all fathers have trespassed and done that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord our God and have forsaken him and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord and turned their backs. And they have shut up the doors of the porch and put out the lamps and have not burned incense nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. Wherefore the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem. And he hath delivered them to trouble, to astonishment, and to hissing, as ye see with your eyes. For lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. Now it is in mine heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. My sons, be not now negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and that ye should minister unto him and burn incense. Well, that's a good speech. That's really well said. So we see a little bit more detail in 2 Chronicles. What do we see? We see that Hezekiah gets the guys together and says, listen, we're in the miserable shape we're in because of da-da-da-da. Now we need to get rid of this da-da-da-da and get out there and make this place right, and we'll get God's blessing. Now, you hear this all the time today. We need to do da-da-da-da. See, kids? See, guys, da-da-da-da, that's what you do. You save a lot of words. We get out there, and if we could just do da-da-da-da, we could make this country right, and then God would come back and take care of it. That's not the way it goes. This is a physical kingdom. This is how God did things in those days. Right? This isn't how he does it. There's things that we need to do, and we could do, and it would turn this country around. Why is that? Because this would tell people how to live. This would tell us how to turn our country around. So there's an awful lot of Old Testament preaching put on people today, which is what we get. Another thing we get from the kings is we hear a lot of preaching that these people did. The good kings said to these people in those days for God to heal their land, and we're trying to do it today, and according to Paul's teachings and according to Thessalonians, that isn't going to happen. Do you see here? So a guy can go back to this thing, not rightly dividing at all, and go back and say, now this would have been a good sermon. I'll just preach this sermon today. Folks, here's what we need to do. We need to do that, or here's the that stuff, you know. And God will come back and he'll heal this nation. Well, he would, but that's not the plan. He could, I'll put it that way, he could. I mean, he could, you know, overnight he could fix this country. Be a little messy, but he could. And he will. But I recognize an awful lot of guilt messages putting on people today based on Old Testament stuff. Two different kind of kingdoms. Okay, let's go to, stay there, 2 Chronicles 29, verse 25. Now, with all that I said there, this is something else that's going on today. And he set the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals, with psalteries, and with harps, and pianos, and guitars, and electric guitars, and banjos, and happy families, and da-da-da-da. There's that, I do a lot of the da-da-da's, don't I? And according to the commandment of David. Well, see, David, remember that? Okay. And of Gad, the king's seer, and Nathan the prophet. For so was the commandment of the Lord by his prophets. Okay, there was a time for this. And the Levites stood with the instruments of David, and the priests with the trumpets. And Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offering upon the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also with the trumpets and with the instruments ordained by King David, king of Israel. And all the congregation worshipped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeter sounded. And all this continued till the burnt offering was finished, and this is the way it was supposed to be. We don't do that today. Well, they do that today. Do you see that what's going on? Maybe you don't see all these churches, but you see what's going on in these churches. That really is an Old Testament thing. Getting all this music together, and let's just worship God, and he'll come back and he'll just heal your families and your lives and the whole thing. Sure, your families will appear to be healed because they'll all get into this modern Christian music, and they get into this crummy music, and they get into the no standards and this kind of stuff, and they think they're happier because there's no more battle in the family. And our church is just everything. It's just great and wonderful. And all this stuff is going on. I've never had so much fun in church. I'm so glad that old guy died. Now we're having a great... I bet that'll take place in this building. Not with us, but it could very easily take place. And what is it? It's the Old Testament way of doing stuff. It's the wrong kingdom. Now, we sing, and we got these marvelous recording kids, the recorderettes coming up along here, and we'll be doing some music and that kind of a thing, and we have little birds up there. Oh, we got a surprise bird today. And all, it was kind of a fun thing. We're trying to get some reasons for it, learning wisdom from the birds. Have you heard such hard family wisdom that's from a few birds, examples in Proverbs? That's been some hard stuff to hear. Those little birds, you know. But this isn't how we do it today. Hezekiah is a great example that if you do it the way God would have you do it, he'll bless. It's just that we can't do it the way they did it. God has his ways with us today. Spiritual, King James Bible, rightly dividing, get out there and be the Christian you need to be. And that's what we're supposed to do. And what happens, you get, what kind of blessings from God do you get when you become that way? Everybody hates you. That's the day we're in. Standing up for what Hezekiah stood up for in modern times of the biblical design through Paul, rightly dividing, it's hard. We get totally different response. But that's the day we're living in. Okay, enough of that. Here we go. Let's go to 2 Kings 18. And here, I tell you, put something in there, and I don't do it. So I guess I'll have a thing put in there. Like, I'll stay here. Okay, 2 Kings 18. Now, we get down to verse 28. We're skipping some stuff in here just for time-wise, and I'm hoping you parents will read to your children all the little things and just get into these readings because they may be big words, but these stories are so in detail. Verse 28, Rabshakeh, there's a name for you. Must be a basketball star in those days. Rabshakeh, he gets up and he's after Hezekiah. He's against God and the whole deal. He's against Hezekiah. And he does a little preaching, and he tells the people, don't pay any attention to Hezekiah. You ever had anybody do that to you? You're going to go visit or something, they're already prepared for you. Don't listen to a thing they have to say, or whatever. So this is what goes on. Now, keep your finger there. Before we read what this Rabshakeh guy says, let's go to 2 Chronicles 32, and let's get a head start on what's going on here. We could save it to the end, but I'm not going to. 2 Chronicles 32, verse 27. I want you to see something here. 32. There it is, verse 31. Now, for time's sake, we go up to verse 27, and we do 27. We got all year. And Hezekiah had exceeding much riches and honor. I mean, Hezekiah had it all. He made himself treasures for silver and for gold and for precious stones and for spices and for shields and for all manner of pleasant jewels. Storehouses also for the increase of corn and wine. From what he provided, it just goes on. Look at verse 31. But Hezekiah has a hard time with the Syrians, and he has difficult times to snack a rib and the whole thing. Look at verse 31. Howbeit, in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land, God left him to try him that he might know all that was in his heart. All this stuff that's taken place in Hezekiah's life is like a test from God to see if he really loved it. And now here we go again. If this is Old Testament stuff, do we see God doing that to us today? Do we see the things that go on in our lives as a test? Does he test us? I don't see that. I see that in the Old Testament all the time, but I don't see that today. I don't see a parent ought to be testing their children as far as can they make it in the world? Can they handle the temptation the parents put in front of them to see if they're strong enough? That's a very, very dangerous thing. Remember when Scott, by the way, Tunnelson will be here today. Remember the six rattlesnakes I had in my office because Scott brought me those rattlesnakes? Well, there were some lessons to learn in those guys. I wonder if I could put my hand in there, slowly, of course, and bring it back out again. Paul, take your hand and put it in there, and why do you want to do that? I just want to see if you trust me. You know, I don't think, I'm not going to bite your ball, because I kept them in the fridge last night, so they're kind of cold. Yeah, I'm going to do that to test him, to see if he loves me or not. I don't see God doing that. I don't see that in the scriptures. But anyway. So let's go back to 2 Kings 18, 28, and let's see what this Rabshakeh guy has to say. He's not a happy guy, we know that. Then Rabshakeh stood and cried with a loud voice, this is 18, verse 28, in the Jews' language, and spake, saying, hear the word of the king of Assyria. Thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord, saying, the Lord will surely deliver us, and this city shall not be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Hearken not to Hezekiah, for thus saith the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present, and come out to me, and then eat ye every man of his own vine, and every one his fig tree, and drink ye every one of the waters of the cistern. Oh, he'll take care of you. He will make you so happy. Until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of corn and wine, a land of bread and vineyards. See, Walla Walla existed even back in Old Testament days. A land of olive. Should be olive oil, but they had to do oil olive. It makes you think of Popeye. And of honey, that ye may live and not die, and hearken not unto Hezekiah when he persuadeth you, saying, the Lord will deliver us. Listen, if you come to my church, you won't get sermons like that. It won't be near so long, and the music's a whole lot more fun, and we will take care of you. We will put you on our little rescue program, and we will, Scott, fix your air conditioner without a problem, and Mim, and then all the kids, all the difficulties you're having, you know, go to a certain ward, and they'll give you everything you need, by the way, and don't forget to sign an agreement that you're part of us. You know, in fact, we'll help you build your house, and then, we won't take it from you so we can have a big mansion later and make a lot of money off this vineyard. We won't do that to you, kind of a thing. This is what they're saying. Have any of the gods of the nations delivered all this land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Come on, we're running the place. Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Shephriam, Hena, and Iva? Have they delivered Samaria out of my hand? Who are they among all the gods or the countries that have delivered their country out of my hand, that the Lord should deliver Jerusalem out of my hand? Come on, don't pay any attention to this preacher guy, Hezekiah. Look what the people did, verse 36. But the people held their peace. Wow. And answered him not a word. For the king's commandment was, saying, answer him not. Then came Eliakim, and the son of Hilkiah, which was over the household, and Shibna the scribe, and Joah the son of Asaph, the recorder, to Hezekiah. See, the recorder? The guy plays recorder. The recorder to Hezekiah with their clothes rent, and told him the words of Rabshakeh. It still shook him up. Now, what can we learn from this? Well, we can learn that when you hear what people say about that Bible and about me and about the church and about how we do things here, don't answer. It's going to shake you up. I wonder if that's true. You suppose maybe he is that rotten? Man, I don't know. Stick with the Bible says about stuff and don't get shook up or don't answer. Okay, now, verse 1, Hezekiah was a little bit tensed up. I mean, when you got a guy that plays recorder in here, you got problems here. And it came to pass, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes. Boy, they rented a lot of clothes in those days. Just tore them up and just get... Aren't you glad your kids don't... Well, they do, though, I guess. They go out and play, and they rented their clothes again. They just had such a good time. Covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, which was over the household, and Shebna, the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth to Isaiah, the prophet, the son of Amoz. And they said unto him, Thus saith Hezekiah, This day is a day of trouble, and of rebuke, and blasphemy. For the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. They're miserable. It may be the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, hath sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left. Great faith. But anyway, I just noticed that. The children are come to the birth, and there's not strength to bring forth. I guess you can get so stressed out and upset with stuff, you can't do what you need to do. Anyway, there might be a sermon there someday. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. So Isaiah's in the picture here. And Isaiah said unto them, Thus shall ye say to your master, Thus saith the Lord, Be not afraid of the words which thou hast heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Blasphemed me? They blaspheme in Isaiah here? Blaspheming God. You notice as we look at Isaiah, Hezekiah goes to God with his prayer, and then God always told Isaiah what to tell Hezekiah. And that is, I just thought that was interesting. So we pray and ask God, and what does he show us? Me? Always shows you your Bible. It's just great stuff for you. Anyway, behold, I will send a blast upon him. That's a thought. And he shall hear a rumor, and shall return to his own land. And I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. Whew. That's good news to hear. But then Hezekiah had to believe Isaiah, didn't he? Got to trust that pastor guy, which he had to do. Now, verse 8. So Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libna, for had heard that he was departed from Lachish. And when he heard say of Tirca, king of Ethiopia, Behold, he has come out to fight against thee, he sent messengers again unto Hezekiah, saying, Thus shall ye speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah. Did anybody ever talk to anybody in those days? Hey, go over there and tell King Hezekiah. No, hey, kids, would you tell my wife, da-da-da-da. Okay, kids, go tell my husband, da-da-da-da. Go tell your dad, da-da-da-da. It's just one of those. I do da-da-da-da a lot, don't I? I was reminded by my kids that, man, they say da-da-da-da a lot. So I guess I do. So we get more challenges. You know, poor Hezekiah. Verse 15, and Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Notice what he does here. He's got some serious issues, and he tells God how great he is. Right? I mean, that's fine. You ever see your kids do this? You know, the garage is on fire. Hey, Mom, boy, you look nice today. That's the prettiest dress I've ever seen you in. What's for dinner? Oh, I bet you it'll be as good as all the other meals you've ever prepared, probably your best one ever. By the way, the garage is on fire. Well, that's okay, son, because, oh, thank you. What? Kind of a thing. They can get us with that. But this is still, you tell God, Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire. for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. So what does Hezekiah want here? He wants to be rescued from the situation, but look where he does. It's all about God. You know, Lord, if you come down and fix this thing, you'll get the glory. That's what he says. People need to know that you're God. Then Isaiah, the son of Amoz, sent to Hezekiah, saying, thus, he's got to hear the preacher here. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. Just want to keep track of my notes here. What are we doing? 19. Okay, here we go. This is the word the Lord hath spoken concerning him. That must be amazing, Isaiah. He's not even hearing Hezekiah's prayer. But he's in his little office, doing his little office things or whatever Isaiah did in those days, walking around, I suppose. And God tells him an answer to somebody's prayer. Go talk to Hezekiah, and here's what I want you to tell him for him to get that. I mean, that's smart. Isn't that an amazing thing? Now, I know, we get the Bible, and the Bible's an amazing thing. I understand that. But I'm just thinking what it must be like to have God. Hello, by the way, Frank, I need to come over and tell you what God wants to talk to you about today. And you know, we've got pastors all over this country that think they can do that. They really do. I mean, just about all of them out there talk like that. Well, God told me to tell you. How about if God showed me some stuff in the Bible that helps you with your life? That's okay. Because he could show you too, but obviously you're too busy to care. Or you missed it. That's okay. Okay, so anyway, we're at verse 23, 21, way up there. This is the word of the Lord that has spoken concerning him. The virgin and the daughter of Zion hath despised thee, and laughed thee to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem hath shaken her head at thee. Whom hast thou reproached and blasphemed? And against whom hast thou exalted thy voice, and lifted up thine eyes on high, even against the Holy One of Israel? By thy messengers thou hast reproached the Lord, and hast said, with the multitude of my chariots, I am come up to the height of the mountains, to the sides of the Lebanon. And you read all this stuff, and it's just, wow, that's quite an answer to prayer. And he's upset. Go down to verse 35. He finishes up his response from God, and then God steps up and does this. And it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. That's a lot of people. Remember, Bob, you were talking about there's a lot of death here? I mean, this is far more than 3,000 at some big tall building. 185,000, how many is that? 185,000? That wiped out any insurance company they had in those days. And when they rose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. 185,000 dead people out in your field, Olivia. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed. Smart guy. Overnight, 185,000 of his people killed. I think I would get up and leave too. I'd be thankful I wasn't 185,001. And went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. Isn't that something? Let's go to 2 Chronicles 32. Again. I mean, when God stepped up to the plate on this one, boy, did he hit a home run or what? Right? Up late, huh, Danica? Rough weekend? Yep. Second Chronicles 32, verse 16. We're going to look at a little bit more of what was said by Sennacherib here as they were going after Hezekiah. Look at verse 17. He wrote also letters to rail on the Lord God of Israel and to speak against him, saying, as the gods of the nations of other lands have not delivered their people out of my hand, so shall not the God of Hezekiah deliver his people out of my hand. Wow. Then they cried with a loud voice in the Jew's speech unto the people of Jerusalem that were on the wall, there's that wall, to affright them and to trouble them that they might take the city. Okay, they can take a city. And they spake against the God of Jerusalem, as against the gods of the people of the earth, which were in the work of the hands of man. And for this cause Hezekiah the king and the prophet Isaiah the son of Amos prayed and cried to the heavens. See, Hezekiah knew that God was being put down here. And when people go after you or me or whatever, this church or whatever, they're really going after this book. They can go after my personality, they can go after the way I do things, whatever. I mean, I wouldn't argue against that at all, but what's the book say? And the people that are against this church or against you or us or whatever, they're against the book. They're against God. This book should have healed marriages by now. By now. We've been here 10 years. We've been over this thing 7 years, 6 years, 4 years. This book should have healed an awful lot of people by now. It really should have. Not my sermons, not my preaching. We've seen enough in this book that things ought to be at least fixed a little. Amen? And it's not. It's not my fault. It's not your fault. It's not the fault of the parents. It's they're rejecting the book. That's what they're after. So Hezekiah wanted this stuff to happen so God would get the glory. I want people to, if they're going to have some crashes or clashes, I want them to solve it by this book. Not by me. Not by you. You can't fix anybody. The book can fix them. That's the way it has to be. We can learn that from how Hezekiah and Isaiah and how God responded to this stuff. Now, let's go back here to 2 Chronicles 32. Here's another comment, verse 8. Here we go, 2 Chronicles 32, verse 8. This is what Hezekiah is saying to the people. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. So Hezekiah knew what to tell the people to give them peace and comfort. That may be a fleshly, physical army who kills with swords and lop your heads off, lap your heads off, lop your heads off, whatever, lop. You can lop your heads off, stab, twist with a sword. Horrible ways to die in the Old Testament. Just horrible, you know. And that's the way they fought. But God would fight their battles. And what did God do? He killed 185,000? Physically. I mean, he fought the physical war for them. And we know all sorts of stories in the Old Testament where God fought the wars physically for them. So what do we have today? We got people that think God's just going to step up to the plate and make everything hunky-dory for us. And that's not the way it is. He gave us a Bible to help us study, read, figure out our kids while we still got time, figure out our marriages while we still have time. The answers are in this book. The answers are in this book. But God isn't going to just magically fix things. Because it get in this thing, he told us how to rightly divide the thing, and how to have patience and grace, and when things clash and there's rebellion, he even tells you what to do with that. Ship them out. Let the devil beat them up for a while, and they'll learn what they need to learn. And they'll come back to the book, and God can take care of them. But it's in this book. That's what we're looking at today. Let's go back here to Second Kings chapter 20. Got to finish up with what really makes Hezekiah so famous here, I guess. Well, we got that kind of a little mini sermon kind of cut us short here. How am I doing with the notes, Paul? Am I kind of staying on track here? Good answer, buddy. You paying attention to the notes? All right, okay. 2 Kings chapter 20. Here we go. It's time for Hezekiah to die. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. He doesn't want to die. And it came to pass before Isaiah was gone into the middle of the court that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Isaiah again, see? Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captive of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, and I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord. And I will add unto thy days 15 years. How you doing those 15 years, LD?
Very fast.
Yeah. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for mine own sake, there it is again, and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, take a lump of figs, and they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. Now, you know God could have just... You ever think about that? You know God can just make something disappear. He's done that many times. But no, they got to take a lump of figs and lay it on this gross... Boil is one of those words that's in the top five words I cannot stand to hear. Boil. Ah. You know? You got to boil. Oh, shh. You ever had it? I mean, they're just... Oh, phew. Because they're full of that stuff, you know, that other word. Ugh. Wouldn't God just fix it anyway? And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day? And Isaiah said, this sign shalt thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he has spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or back 10 degrees? Hezekiah answered, it is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. It is? Is it? I mean, have you ever seen this kind of thing happen? Well, I guess it's easy, though, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. Now that'll challenge God. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. Now I could go back about 10 degrees right now and finish this lesson, but I can't do that. Look at verse 12. And at that time, Barak battled him. Of course, it's just us. It's just family here today. So we'll just take our time here. We'll start late. King of Babylon sent letters in the presence of Hezekiah. For he'd heard that Hezekiah had been sick. Oh, horrible. And Hezekiah hearkened unto them and showed them all the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment. You ever go over to somebody's house and they give you the 100% true of everything they've got? Ah. I wish I had that, I wish I had that, and I wish I had that kind of thing. Then came Isaiah the prophet, then the pastor comes over. And the king Hezekiah said unto him, what say these men? And from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, oh, they are come from a far country, even from Babylon. And he said, what have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, all the things that are in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures I have not showed them. And the preacher said unto Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Let me show you some scriptures here, son. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and all that thy fathers have laid up in store until this day shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And thy son shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away. And he shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Oh, he kind of slipped up at the end here. He kind of cried for all of his stuff. Now, look at... 2 Chronicles 32. Such a good guy. And he's got all sorts of stuff. And he messes up. He's prideful. 2 Chronicles 32, verse 25. We can do 24 to help you see where we're at. In those days, Hezekiah was sick to the death, and prayed unto the Lord, and he spake unto him, and he gave him a sign. But Hezekiah rendered not again according to the benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up, therefore was wrath upon him and upon Judah and Jerusalem. But, look at verse 26. Little respite here. Is that the word respite? Break it. Little respite. Gets back on track a little bit here, I think. Notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart. He knew pride stepped up to the plate. Both he and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord came not upon them in the days of Hezekiah. So, here's this guy. Horrible family, horrible dad. Gets up, wants to do everything for God. Through Isaiah, learn all these things from Isaiah, and there's death here, and Hezekiah comes out ahead, and Hezekiah gets a little prideful at the end. Show people all the stuff that he's got. And, you know, one of the things I've noticed when some of these, what we call great preachers of the past, they're dying, they start talking about their ministry. They start talking about themselves. And I don't think that they're bragging. I've heard Jack Hiles, when he was dying, and all he could talk about was all the things that God had used him to do. It was just ruining anything that he had got going. And Requa's even done the same thing. They all talk about things that they've done in their ministry. And that's pride. It's a pride thing at the end of a preacher's ministry. I don't know why they do that. Maybe I will too, I guess. Look at all the things. Look at the families that have grown in the Bible. Look at the website. I hope I'm not that way. I hope I'm not prideful. It's been a joy. Yeah, it's not like I'm dying. I'm giving you my final thing here. But they do that. So this is what happened here with Hezekiah. And yet he cleaned it up at the end, and he goes on. And you know when this, who's the next king? Manasseh. You know when Manasseh was born? It's his son. He was born in those 15 years that he had added to himself. If Hezekiah hadn't asked for those 50, or no, God hadn't given those 15 years because Hezekiah didn't want to die, he wouldn't have had Manasseh. And sometimes God lets you have what you want, and that's too bad you got that. All sorts of lessons can we learn from these kings still.